So glad this morning that Jesus took time out to walk by that old dusty dry well that day. Went out of His way to wait for the one that needed some of that living water. He knew the woman's name. He knew the place that she was in. And He cared enough about her, regardless of her background, to come by and offer her living water that would make a difference in the whole rest of her life. And I'm so thankful today that the Lord stops by each one of our ways today. He knows where we are. He knows where to meet us. And He's willing to help us dig our very own personal well that we might be able to experience living water. I have a message to share with you today. It's not a new message. It's not a new concept, but it's an important message that I believe if we can get a hold of, we'll be able to better experience those wells of living water. I'd like to start in the 6th chapter of Luke this morning, and in the 46th verse. And it said, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep, laid his foundation on a rock, and when the storm arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." And I'd like to consider this passage for a few minutes this morning. We read about two lives today. We read about a life that withstood the storms of life. And we read about a life that in the end, in the final analysis, this life fell. And it said that the ruin of that life was great. And I want to also first recognize the fact that in both lives and in both instances, they both experience the storms of life. Whether you're righteous or unrighteous this morning, you're going to face storms of life.
Yes. Yes,
we're going to face those places in life where the enemy comes and tempts us in areas that maybe our flesh is drawn to, but we know aren't the right spaces to be. The enemy is going to come to us and we're going to experience places in life where we're hurt. We're going to face places in life that are dark. And where we don't know the way and where we're not sure how to navigate to get from where we are and from where we believe we need to go. All of us today are going to face places in life that are associated with grief. Sometimes we face places where we feel like we've been betrayed. And you know, all of us this morning are going to face places in life where we have to come face to face with our own selves, our own weaknesses and our own inadequacies, and our own places where we've failed and where we have come short of the glory of God. Those are all places that everybody is going to face, regardless of where you're at today. But we find in this story that in the end, one individual was connected to a higher power and had a strength that was beyond their own strength. And in the end, they stood and the other one fell. We find that in one instance, one person has said, dig deep. The other person dug shallow. One person was left standing and the other person has said, they fell and the ruin of it was great. And everybody here today is going to land in one of those two places. There's not really in the end going to be a middle place. We're all going to find, all of us are going to find places where we fall in life. But then it's, what are you going to do after you fall?
That's right.
Are you going to stay down there? get acquainted with the dirt real well? Or are you going to be willing to get back up and go on? A righteous man falls 7 times and rises again. Or are you going to be without strength and fall? And in the end, in the final analysis, the testimony of our life be that the ruin of that man's house was great. Today, none of us have to have that be the testimony of our lives. That does not have to be the place where we land. I don't want to be in the number of the people that it's said of that the ruin of that house was great. I'm not interested in being in that category. So this morning, my message to you today has to do with the importance of digging deep. Yep. Digging deep in coming, digging deep in hearing, and digging deep in doing. That's the message I want to bring to you today. Have you ever sat down at supper time and it's time to eat? And for supper, the cook has prepared a big bowl of stew. And so everybody's waiting their turn to get their portion. You ever watched how people dip? You know, you might watch the person next to you dip in and perhaps dip shallow. And maybe they come up with, you know, a yellowish green piece of carrot gets snagged in the ladle. Maybe a piece of celery that's, you know, caught in the current and swimming by. And if you're real fortunate, you might capture a little piece of meat that too late realized it should have been swimming for deep. And you look at the person who dug shallow and you think, now, either they don't know any better or they're being real considerate of everybody else that has yet to dip. Because you see, the reality is the good stuff is down deep. And if you want to get the good stuff, if you want to get the kind of stuff that's going to help you live and have strength when you need to be standing, you're going to have to be willing to dig deep.
Yes, that's right.
Got to dig deep and get down there where the meat is and where the good stuff is residing. And I feel like today that from a spiritual standpoint, that if we don't dig deep spiritually, if you're satisfied with just digging shallow, we are at risk of having nothing more than a form of godliness without Holy Spirit-filled strength and power to be able to stand when the storms of life come, because they will come. The prophet Jeremiah said in the 29th chapter, he said, "And ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." And said another way, you are not going to find me if you don't search for me with all of your heart. The Lord's not there just to be captured on a whim and with a ring of the bell, just kind of whenever it's convenient for me, and I've got 10 minutes and I've got something to do after that. Lord, I need help. Take care of this, please. The Lord is God. He is the Creator. We're the created. And if we want to get in touch with God, we're going to have to be in that place where we search for Him with all of our heart. And not let other things get in the way of us making contact with God. Another place said, many are called, but few are chosen. Why is that? Why is there only few chosen? Is it because the Lord grades on a curve? No. Thankfully, I'd be lost if He did. Is it because there's not enough room? Is it because there's only a space for 5 people to be on the team and a few backups? Is it because heaven's not big enough to be able to hold everybody that would say, I'll go? You know, in school sometimes they say, hey, we're going to choose teams and we're going to play. Who wants to play? Well, if everybody raises their hand, you got a problem because only so many can play, particularly when recess is only 20 minutes long. And you want to be one of the ones that are chosen to play. But the Lord, it doesn't say many are called but few are chosen, because there's a lot of people who are willing to do whatever it takes, who are willing to search with all of their hearts, and it just so happens that, I'm sorry, I can only take this many, we're full. It's because to search with the Lord with all of your heart, it involves energy, and it involves time, and it involves focus, and it involves wanting the Lord worse than anything else in life. It involves that being more than just lip service. We can all this morning say, yes, I believe that we need to seek God with all of our hearts, but how many of us are doing it? How many of us are searching with all of our hearts? To be able to get into the kingdom of God is going to require us digging deep.
Yes.
Digging deep. And I think about digging deep like this. When you think about digging a hole, digging deep involves digging and then taking measures to keep things that are on the outside from getting in the hole you're trying to dig. You see construction workers sometimes, they'll be out there and you'll see this barrier around the hole. And the reason the barrier's there is to keep things from the outside getting in where they shouldn't be. And sometimes you can be driving down the road and see this rectangular steel box sitting on the road, and you look at that and say, well, what is that for? Wonder what that's all about. Well, what that's all about is that when the hole gets so big, they'll put that thing down in the hole so that the person's protected on the inside from things spilling in from the outside and getting into the hole.
Yes.
And this morning, one of the reasons why we dig deep and we put barriers around the hole, we set up some standards and we set up some holiness practices in our lives. There's some lines we draw in the sand and we say, I'm not going to cross that line because I'm interested in digging deep. And I'm not interested in things from the outside getting in and getting in the way of me reaching Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's not the barriers. It's not the standards we may set up that saves us. That little barrier does not make a hole. But sometimes what that barrier does is it keeps us from being exposed to unnecessary temptation from the world that the enemy would use to get into our hearts and begin to distract us. And so there are times where we set up some standards in our lives and we say, I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to listen to that. I'm not going to watch those things because there's risk involved with allowing myself those forms of entertainment. It doesn't mean that we can't be entertained, but God wants us to always be careful that we make decisions that our primary purpose is to dig deep and reach Jesus Christ. That's part of digging deep. There are some people whose lives are defined by the barriers. Their lives are defined by the height and the color and the visibility of the barriers around the hole. And then you come peek in and there's no hole. All there is just a barrier. The barrier doesn't make the hole. That's empty religion. The Lord is wanting us to focus on digging deep and doing whatever it takes to meet Jesus Christ. Digging deep involves getting things out of the hole that's not supposed to be in there.
Yes.
There's many times in our lives as we start thinking about my life and we start opening ourselves up to the Lord, He starts revealing things to us, says, Rod, this thing is down there, is in the way of you making contact with me. You need to get it out of there.
Yes.
And I want to say this before I go any further. You don't have to dig this hole on your own. Jesus Christ wants to help you with that. The Lord has come along and He's not saying, you dig down and you get to where you need to be and then I'll meet you. The Lord is interested in helping us dig to get to that point if we're willing to dig. Because here's the thing, folks, you're going to be digging all your life. You're never going to get to the place where you have spiritually arrived. If you have, let's talk after service, because I haven't found that experience yet. I'm still digging. I still find things in my life that I don't think the Lord is pleased with, and the Lord's touching those and says, Rod, you need to move up in this area. We need to be willing to get things out that are already in there.
Yes.
Digging deep involves refraining from digging holes somewhere else. Your plate's only so big. You can only put, there's only 24 hours in a day. You can only focus on so many things. And it's so easy to say, well, that's not sin, and this isn't sin, and I don't see anything wrong. The Bible doesn't teach against this. Yes, but are those things hindering us from digging deep and getting a hold of Jesus Christ? And so sometimes digging deep involves necessarily not digging in other areas. Digging deep involves digging when you don't feel like it.
Yes.
Is there anybody that is here that always feels on a spiritual mountain just saying, give me a shovel in each hand, I'm ready to go? That's not reality.
No.
We find ourselves in life sometimes where we are creatures of emotion and we have feelings and we are moved by external forces that come our way. And there are times where sometimes we feel like setting the shovel off to the side and just laying down. The Lord's not going to overwork us. The Lord is going to be there to help pick us up when we need help. He's going to give us strength when we need help. And there are times where He makes us lie down in green pastures and leads us beside the still waters. But we have to, and restores our soul. But we have to be willing, Lord, I'm in this to the end. Lord, there's a race to be run. Lord, there's a finish line to be crossed. And Lord, I'm willing to give my all the way. This is all part of digging deep. And I believe the Lord wants us to get our hearts and our minds around the importance of doing these things. Digging deep involves digging until you find Jesus Christ, and not just until the people around you accept you as having dug deep. What I'm saying there is sometimes you can live a life where other people will say, yeah, they're one of us. Yeah, they're accepted. And we can be accepted with the group of people, but what we want to do is have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's where the deep stuff, that's where the food is, that's where the water springs eternal, that's where the blessings flow. That's the reason why people that don't dig until they reach Jesus and they just dig until they're accepted by a group of people, that's where we can find ourselves in the place where we're discouraged and we feel disenfranchised from the gospel that we have heard that is so good, and we feel disappointed. It's because we haven't dug for Jesus Christ. That's what we're looking for today. And that's what I want to find. We want to push until we press through, and Jesus Christ is found, and those waters, those living waters are found for me personally. That's what the Lord wants for us in life. And I want to assure you today that the Lord has enough grace and mercy and blessing so that when you come sit at the table of the Lord, you can dig deep.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about looking greedy. You don't have to worry that the guy next to you isn't going to get his share. When it comes time for you to dig deep, you just go ahead and take that ladle and you push it all the way to the bottom and get as much out of there as you can. Because if you don't, we're going to end up trying to live a life with broth, spiritual broth. And it isn't going to get us where we need to be. And so the challenge this morning is, really, how deep are you digging? Are you getting down where the Lord is and where the Lord can meet you? We don't want to be defined as somebody that digs a lot of shallow holes. You know, I don't want to be defined that way. I don't want somebody to come in my backyard and see these little holes spread out everywhere and they say, what's that? Well, that's Rod. You know Rod. I mean, sometimes he's really enthused about this thing, and sometimes he's enthused about this little hole over here, and then his attention gets distracted, and he's really kind of focused. That's Rod. I mean, all these shallow holes represent him. I want the Lord to be able to come into my heart and life and find a hole that looks like I mean what I'm doing. There's something, I don't want to be double-minded. James talks about a double-minded man as unstable in all of his ways.
Yeah.
I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be driven with the wind and tossed.
Yeah.
Regardless of what people around me, what their priorities are and where they tell me my priorities should be, I want to live in such a way that, Lord, help me to dig deep. Help me to lay my foundation on Jesus Christ. Help me not to be moved from that. May God help us this morning. So what does this practically mean? We've talked a lot about digging kind of theoretically. But I'd like to get a little bit more specific now, because the Scriptures here, I feel like, got pretty specific. Let's read the 47th verse again. He said, "Whosoever cometh to me," listen to what he said, the three things here. And you can't just do two of them. Or one of them. You can't do some of them part of the time. This is the Lord helping us understand what a man looks like that digs deep. And he said, "Whosoever cometh to me, number one, and heareth my sayings, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like." So the first thing he instructs us with is, first of all, we have to come, folks. The Lord's not going to push Himself on us. He'll deal with us, but we have a responsibility to come. And the Lord has provided us many different avenues to come. We have all come to the congregation of the Lord's people this morning. We have gone out of our way, and we have come, hopefully, to hear the Word of the Lord and to be blessed. We can come to church. Folks, the Lord intended for us to come to church service. When church service has taken place, how are you going to be able to hear what He says? How are you going to be able to know what to do if you don't come? If you're neglectful in coming, do we just sit back and say, "Well, the Lord can come to me. I want the Lord to know I'm interested in getting up and coming." Come to service. When service is going on, the Lord wants us to be in service. The Lord wants us to come and read the written Word of the Lord. He's given us the Bible. The Lord doesn't want it to just sit idly by, but it's whosoever cometh to where I am, cometh to where I can give you something that will help connect you to me. The Lord wants us to come and read the written Word. The Lord wants us to come and be in service. And we live in a time where we can come and we can hear the Word of the Lord online when we're driving down the road. That's another avenue. Come, Lord, would you talk to my heart? It's coming and creating space for the Lord. Sometimes we say, "Well, I'm not denying the Lord." But sometimes we fill our plate and our days so full that we crowd them out and we don't leave any space to come. We have to be willing to come to where the Lord is. Some people come. There are those that come and they're here in service and maybe they read their Bible with religion, religiously, read their Bible every day. But they don't really come to listen. The Scripture says, "Whosoever cometh to me." It doesn't say, "Whosoever cometh and or heareth." It's whosoever comes and whosoever hears. The Lord wants to talk to your heart. The Lord wants to meet you where you come. When you come into His presence, God wants to speak to you. God wants to get down into your heart and He has something to say to us.
Yes.
Oh, He has blessings for us. He has riches for us. He has substantive things for us. He has weighty things that we need so that when we face the storms of life, we'll be able to stand.
Because
you're going to face them. You're going to face the storms of life. I need to know, what doth the Lord say? I want to know what He has to say to me. I want to hear. May God help us dig deep in hearing. Well, then there's some that come. There's some that come and they open up their hearts and say, Lord, what is it that You would have me to do? Lord, help me to know what You want for me. And they come and they hear, but then they don't do. And sometimes those are such sad situations because people come and the Lord gives them exactly what they need, but perhaps they go away as the young rich ruler. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Oh, He wanted to come. The Scripture says that He ran to Jesus.
Yes.
He ran to Him. Lord, what must I do to be saved? And the Lord said, well, this is what you do. But He was really interested in hearing, and so He asked a follow-up question to really try to get a hold of it. And the Lord said, well, all right, this is what you really need to do. And He told him, and it said that he went away sorrowful.
Yes.
He came and he heard, but then he went away and he didn't do. And he fell.
Yes.
I don't want to fall. God doesn't want you to fall. He'll give you the strength to do. Sometimes we come and we hear and we're like the man that it said, he looked in the glass, he beheld himself in a glass and saw what manner of man that he was. And then it said, he went his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was.
Yes.
Let the distractions of life come in. We hear what we need to do. We came to the Lord with an open heart. But then we have so much stuff to attend to that the distractions of the world, the cares of life, things come in and choke out perhaps a desire that we had. Oh, may God help us today to focus on digging deep that we might do the will of the Lord. We can come and we can hear, and if we do that, folks, but we don't do, we are such at risk of having, again, just a form of godliness and not something where we have spiritual depth. And we find that our fire is burning low. And you know what it does, really? It opens the door for discouragement to come in. That's what happens a lot of times. Because here's what the enemy will do. You come, and so you feel good about that. I came. And you listen. Lord, what do you have to say? And you heard. But then you didn't give diligence to do. But maybe you have a form of coming, and then you don't have the power in your life that you would expect, and then you think, it just must not be for me. Because either maybe we're not digging deep in one of those areas. And then we get discouraged. And the enemy can use that against us. I don't want the door to be open in my life for that kind of discouragement. I don't want to be weak in power. I don't want to just have a form of religion, but no power that's associated with it. I want to be willing this morning to dig deep. The Lord has an experience. He has an experience that He wants you to have. If ye be willing, if every one of us this morning, if ye be willing and ye'll be obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. The Lord has the land of Canaan that He wants to give us.
Amen.
He has a land flowing with milk and honey that, yes, has your name on it. That He wants us to experience. But if we draw back, if we're really not willing to give it our all, if we're not willing to seek Him with all of our hearts, and I don't want you to go away and let the enemy always discourage you and say, well, you can't get it because you're never good enough. You can't ever come enough. You don't listen good enough. You can't ever do enough. Look, I can't do enough to earn my way into heaven. I can't do enough good things to earn my way into heaven. I can't come enough so that the Lord can say, oh, I'll check that off. He came in all of these different instances. Oh, he drove down the road and wasn't listening to a message. Yep, he's off. That's not what it's about. I can't come enough, I can't listen enough, and I can't do enough to earn my way into heaven. There's just no way to do it. Here's what the Lord wants. It's really simple. He wants your heart. He just wants your heart. He'll help us do. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. The Lord will give us that. He'll help us. It's only by His blood that we can be saved. That's the only way I'm going to be saved. But I still have a responsibility to come. And all of it, He gives all of us the wherewithal to be able to do that. And if my coming, if I come and I listen and I do in my spare time, then you're going to end up with a spare time experience. And God's not looking for a people, a church, a people that makes up His body, the bride of Christ, that are spare time Christians. Look, we make time for the stuff we want to make time for, all right? Don't we? Most of the time. The Lord's not looking for a spare time Christian.
No.
The Lord's just looking for a people that says, I'll go. Lord, I'm inadequate. I'm not worthy to serve You, but Lord, here am I. I want to serve You. Amen. And so I want to encourage you this morning. Come to service when you can come to service.
Yes.
Read the Word of God.
Yes.
Come and open up your heart to the Lord throughout the course of the week and say, Lord, I come to You. I come before Your presence in the best way that I know how. Lord, would You speak to my heart? And may God help us to hear what the Spirit of the Lord says. And then don't be satisfied with just coming and hearing, but labor to enter into His rest by doing. The Lord has a special rest that He wants to give us. There remaineth therefore a rest, Hebrews the 4th chapter says. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. The enemy says, well, if you're digging all the time, how can you ever rest? That's one of the secrets of salvation. Is that there is this thing called laboring to enter into His rest. And the Lord can come in and give us strength that we never knew was available.
Right.
We can tap in to a strength and a power and a blessing that we never knew was available as we give ourselves to the Lord. Let's be encouraged this morning to come before the Lord. And I want to challenge us that we would dig deeper in coming. That we would dig deeper in hearing, Lord, what is it that You would have to say to me? That we would dig deeper in giving diligence to doing. Because your life depends on it. And it's where the blessings of the Lord are. That's where that well of living water is. And know that the Lord will be there to help you do all of that. And if you mess up and you make a mistake and you realize you didn't do enough, the Lord will forgive. He'll reach down and pick you back up if you're willing to be picked back up. Oh, this morning, be encouraged in the power of Jesus Christ. Be encouraged to dig deep so that when those storms come, and they will, that at the end of the day, when they began to subside and you look around to see what's left, that we will be found standing with Jesus Christ by our side saying, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. May God bless you with these thoughts is my prayer.
Amen.